This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:40 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hisriel. And for our next story, we are talking about providing better feedback when it comes to urban planning. This is coming from Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who said there's a need to strengthen the bottom-up feedback system so that policies and action plans can better match real needs for urbanites. This has become more urgent as Malaysia is expected to see 26 million people, or 80% of the population, living in urban areas by 2030.
Yep, and a larger population means there will be plenty of issues policymakers will have to deal with: traffic problems, affordable housing, access to public transportation. The list goes on. To tackle them, local councils, state governments, and federal agencies and ministries will have to be better coordinated. They'll also need to engage local community leaders, given that they're attuned to the issues affecting their communities.
So at this moment, it does feel more crucial than ever. We don't see nearly enough green spaces in urban areas, and the ones we have, like Taman Rimbakira, is under threat despite efforts to fight against development projects.
Yeah.
We also get urban projects that aren't necessarily the most efficient. We see a lot more highways instead of investments into public transport and pedestrian-friendly infrastructure.
Yeah, and I think alignment here is really the big word, isn't it? On the practical level, we see it when we're walking or driving by on the street, like the way simple things like sidewalks aren't even the same height. There are some that are, you know, as high up as our knees, and which means that, you know, people who are differently abled will not be able to access them. So in a practical way, I think the Prime Minister's message really resonates and affects people on a daily basis, don't they?
Yeah, it does. And really, I think the struggle with getting feedback sometimes to whoever is within the spaces of designing or town planners and all that, I think in some perspectives it could be seen as a burden, right? It's too many perspectives to consider. You know, this is my expertise, I should know best, and I have the data and all that. But I think the participation from public, the participation from citizens, it's quite valuable in terms of input, because you're able to humanize some of the points of views and make better sense of the data that you have, right? Because if you're merely engaging whatever information you have from a very technical and statistical point of view, it's kind of hard to expect and kind of hard to see later on why people might not be using a certain thing that you've designed, or why people are very frustrated with something that's been built.
Yeah, and that's the ironic part, isn't it, Kel? Because when it comes to policymaking, all these different agencies are always looking at the bigger picture, at big data and all these numbers that may not necessarily capture how things are on the ground. And of course, different constituencies, different neighborhoods have different issues. I mean, they look different, right? And those are really markers that that all these different agencies might not be on the same page when it comes to development and addressing different needs. I mean, look at the a lot of the developments that are going on. They're by private companies, that have the autonomy to decide, how things go, how the buildings are constructed, what it means for accessibility. So I think when it comes to defining things like accessibility and inclusivity and environmentally friendly, there needs to be really common benchmarks and just a common language for everyone to communicate so that they're all on the same page.
Yeah, for sure. And you can let us know, how do you think, at least on the end of the government, state governments and all its agencies, as well as state governments and local councils, how can that feedback process be improved when it comes to designing the city, when you want to build things, you know, for us living in KL? You can let us know. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Shohana Shamsuddin, President of Malaysian Urban Design Association and Adjunct Professor at UTM KL. Stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:47. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hisriel. And we are talking about means to improve the bottom-up feedback system so that policies and action plans can better match real needs for urbanites. And this is coming from Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who wants to see that feedback system improved.
Yeah.
Because more and more of Malaysians will start living in urban areas come 2030. That number is expected to hit about 26 million people, or a very large amount, 80% of the population.
Yeah.
And it's quite an interesting one, right? Because it's so crucial. Really, really so important. When it comes to building anything that's meant to serve a public good, especially if you are in a city, it's quite important to speak to people on the ground, right? Because they might not necessarily, and when I say they, I mean the designers, they might not necessarily be ultimately the ones that are using the services the most day to day.
Yeah, and this is really where our conversations about water conversation and sustainability really come in when the population increase is set to be that big, Kel.
Yeah, so send us your thoughts. How can that feedback system be improved? In the meantime, though, we're now headed to the lines to speak with Dr. Shuana Shamsuddin, President of Malaysian Urban Design Association and Adjunct Professor at UTMKL. Dr. Shuana, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, even though it's a bit last minute.
We really appreciate it. So, looking at this story, how are urban planning policies currently formulated and who's involved?
Currently, the urban planning policies work in a three-tier system where we have a documentation called the comprehensive development plans. And at the national level, we have the national physical plan, and then we'll trickle down to the state plans. And then at the local authority, they will produce a structured plan, and then a smaller area called local plan, and a much smaller area which is a specific site within the local plan area, which they call the special area plan. So basically, is the policies are put in a document which is made public and is subject to review for a periodic system. And before the plans are actually being adopted and gazetted, they are normally being put for display to the public to make their comments and give feedback.
Yeah, and when it comes, to the public, Dr. Shuhana, are there systems in place for people to provide feedback?
Yeah, that is when, for example, when recently DBKL published its draft structure plan 2030, and because of the, I think it was before the MCO, or just after, but somewhere time there this year, and they have a certain period of time where they put exhibitions of the like the gist of the what the plan is all about in public places such as like the DBKL office, and then the public are invited to come, you know, to put in their comments. But normally, I don't know, I haven't got the statistics, but in the past, you know, such feedbacks are not really the turnout from the public to make comments are not really that great.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because sometimes people are not aware that any of the policies made actually is going to affect them. If it's not within their backyard, you know, they're not really bothered. And usually those who are going to go to give the feedback are the residents' associations or societies. For example, we, the Malaysian Urban Design Association, did give our feedback at the, I think it was the end of the period for giving the feedback, because we are representing the public interest as far as the design of the city is concerned. Because that is, as an NGO, that is our role, you know, to champion the cause and to act on behalf of the public. But for the general public at large, you know, unless they own a land which is actually demarcated for certain type of development, which they are not going to agree for, then they will come forth. Otherwise, you know, there will be very little feedback. But probably at the local plan level, probably the interest will be more, because then at that level, you know, the proposals as far as the plan is concerned, is actually can be seen on the plots of land or the lots. So that at least will interest a certain group of people who owns the land. So but even then, I would like to emphasize, you know, not necessarily all the comments and feedbacks are going to be taken into consideration, but it is part of the process of producing the plan, which is there is a legal obligation of the local authority to display their policies before they actually adopt those plans.
Right, and how and what would a productive, workable and accessible feedback system look like?
As far as policies are concerned, I think there are organizations like the NGOs or specific bodies which act on behalf of the community, but actually having access to local authorities would be a better way of conveying these the concerns and also informing about the needs of that certain group. For example, if you have a society or a cyclist, for example, a society or like a urban design association, then we would actually be doing the groundwork and then collecting information and then informing the local authority about the needs of the people on that aspect and bring forth all these issues to the local authority. But for the individuals, you know, that is very, very difficult to do. But then the local authority has to be what I call to say receptive to the comments and feedback from the organizations and or the NGOs. Because, you know, in the past, you know, sometimes there is this notion that, you know, the NGOs are normally like, you know, barking dogs, you know, barking around, you know, making nuisance for the authority. And sometimes, you know, yeah, I mean, like you say, pressure groups are normally not really welcome by the local authorities, but they are the one actually who is having some issues to fight for or to bring forth to the attention of the authorities. So I would think that there should be a system where the local authorities should have more engagement with these organizations, you know, the organizations that is working at the community level or the pressure groups or NGOs, you know. There should be more meetings towards or like a focus group discussion with these people before any plans. But actually in DBKL does have that format, focus group discussions, whereby for specific projects like the Kampung Baru development last time, and even for us, when I was involved in doing the KL Heritage Trail Master Plan, you know, they did call some community leaders and so forth to voice out their grievances or their concerns. And this should be taken into consideration theoretically.
And now, what are the ideal outcomes of this system, right? They're supposed to build consensus and allow citizens to convey their message, but for me, I think the potential obstacles are that the feedback might not be translated into the results. Is there somehow a mechanism to ensure that the feedback relayed is really the feedback that's implemented?
Yes, this is the problem, I think, with our thing. We have a good planning system and we have very good policy documents being produced. But our shortcoming is at implementation level. Somehow, the you know, those policies doesn't really trickle on the ground. What is being painted a rosy picture in the plans, you know, actually it's not really materializing if you really walk on the ground. I mean, a good example is that, you know, we got good policies about, you know, having very conducive environment in the city. But look at our cities, we can't even hardly walk. Safety in the city, you know, the needs of the disabled people are still not really being met. We are still lacking in public amenities, you know, for leisure and recreation for the urban community and at the neighborhood level or even at the city center. So I think what is much needed is actually within the local authority itself, they should employ more planners, urban planners, to actually work on, you know, getting all these policies translated. Because if you look in Malaysia as compared to UK, which has one of the best planning system, because I was educated in UK and I'm very, very familiar with their system, their planning system. Mm-hmm. Over there, the local authority have quite a large number of planners who are really being given responsible to look to take care of specific area within the city level. So much so that, you know, when I was having an attachment with one in the Nottingham City Council, you know, we were driving to the neighbourhoods with the planner who's responsible for that, and she can actually detect that one of the houses that actually built a porch, you know, a car porch in front of the house, did not get planning permission to do so. So you can see that level of detail that she's aware of, because she's only responsible with a very small area within the city. So she could memorize, you know, the roads, and she knows what's happening on the ground, and she even knows the residents, you know, and they can even come to tell her, you know, something's not working here. But actually, in the context of Malaysia, we don't have the luxury to employ that many planners, because the planner's job is actually is a public sector job, and salaries being paid by the government, so you need allocation in the budget, you know, to create jobs, to have more planners. And this is, I think, one of the shortcomings. We just are good at producing policies and plans, but we are not capable of implementing it because of the shortcoming of people who are going to see the translation of these policies on the ground. Another thing that you probably noticed is even in KL, I mean, we're already in 2020, and KL is already like a metropolitan, a global city, but look at the quality of the city centre as far as places for us to have the quality of the urban spaces, the quality of the streets, you know, for us to walk. If you compare with the other cities in Europe, I mean, or even in Singapore, you know, we are really lacking behind in the aspect of quality, in the environment that we have. But if you look at our policy, we are at par. That's the problem. We are at par with the developed country, because we are concerned of the same thing. We are concerned with the same thing that we are concerned of in terms of the sustainable development. We are not really using the word sustainable development, you know, at our liberty. But look at the way we build cities; it's not really sustainable.
Dr. Shana, on that note, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Dr. Shuhana Shamsuddin, President of Malaysian Urban Design Association and Adjunct Professor at UTM KL. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.